The final week of Jesus' life, he spent in Jerusalem during the Passover. This was certainly not by accident, but by design. Passover was one of the high festival feasts where people would travel from around the region and descend upon Jerusalem to celebrate the time in which God had liberated them from the Egyptians. The highlight of the week was the Passover meal that God had instituted first long ago, back when the people of Israel were held captive by the Egyptians. God had kept his promise to his people, and he sent Moses to deliver them. 9 plagues descended upon Egypt, and still Pharaoh would not relent. But the 10th plague, God promised that the 10th plague, Pharaoh would relent and release his people. That would be the night when the firstborn of every household would die. On that day, then, God instructed through Moses that a special meal should be prepared for them to celebrate. In that meal, they were to go out and they were to find a lamb without blemish or defect. They would slaughter that lamb for dinner. But they would have to make sure that there'd be no leftovers because they were leaving Egypt. God was going to deliver them. So if they didn't have enough, they'd invite the neighbors over to make sure that all would be consumed. They were to make their bread without yeast, so it would be unleavened. That way, when they traveled, it wouldn't spoil for them. That night, as they gathered, they would have their traveling clothes on for the certainty that God was going to release them the next day, and they would leave. And then the most important element of the meal, they were to take the blood of the lamb, place it upon the 2 sides of the door and upon the top. So that night, when the angel of death came over the land, if it saw the blood of the lamb, it passed over that household and no harm would befall them. It was on this night, as Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal, the meal in which all of Israel would remember God's redeeming act, that Jesus would institute what we know as the Lord's Supper. It certainly was not by accident, but by design. For Jesus is the Lamb of God, perfect, without blemish, and is only through his blood that we have been redeemed. By the time we come to Jesus' day, the Passover meal had come to the point where there were 4 cups that were used during the meal. Each cup was a reflection of God's promise contained in Exodus chapter 6. It reads this way: "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Tonight we focus on this meal and the promises that God made long ago, promises to the people of Israel, and promises that he makes to us yet today. The meal would begin with the first cup. It is the cup of belonging. God had never forgotten his people, even though they were in Egypt for over 400 years. He had never forgotten the covenant that he had with Abraham. When he said to Abraham that from your offspring I will make a great nation, and from you all people will be blessed. That nation was Israel, and they belonged to God. They were his covenant people. Even though they may be in a foreign land, God still claimed them as his own. God claims you as his own. For you are now his covenant people. A covenant that he made with you at your baptism. A covenant where he called you by name and brought you into his family. Scripture says that all of us who were baptized in the Christ have put on Christ, and we have joined the family of God. We begin our service remembering our baptism, remembering that we are children of the covenant. After they had consumed the first cup, Jesus would have reached down and grabbed one of the pieces of bread. He would have broken it in two, one side being larger than the other. The larger piece he would hide away. It's called the often common. Literally translated, it means the coming one. It was to remain hidden until the one who was the true paschal bread, who would bring life to his people, would come into the world. He would take the remaining bread and he would break it and he would give it to his disciples to eat with the meal. And then it was time for the second cup. The second cup is the cup of deliverance. The people of Israel had been in bondage to the Egyptians for 400 years. Hard labor was their lot in life, and their condition was sad. After so many years of being enslaved by the Egyptians, no matter how large their numbers might be, there was no escape for them. They could never lead a rebellion against them. Only by the hand of a God, only by God delivering them, could they come out from under the oppression of the Egyptians. For us, we also are in bondage. We're in bondage to sin. Not sins, but in bondage to sin. It is a condition in which we are born into. Certainly, we all do things that we know are wrong, but it stems from a sinful nature. David would cry out in Psalm 51. He says, I was sinful at birth, sinful when my mother conceived me. From the moment of conception, we are born in a state of sin, of rebellion to God, of separation from God. St. Paul, many years later, would write, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. All of us probably can relate to that. We want to do the right thing. We want to do good. And yet more often than not, we do the wrong thing. We need to be delivered as much as the people of Israel did long ago. In our service, the cup of deliverance is our time of confession. When we come before God and freely admit the sinful, shameful people that we are who need to be delivered. At this point in the meal, Jesus reached over and he took the often common bread. And now what had been hidden for generations was about to be revealed. As Jesus took this bread and said to his disciples, take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. At that moment, his disciples would realize that Jesus is claiming to be the fulfillment of the paschal bread. He was the bread that would bring life to all people. And he broke it and gave it to his disciples. Then we come to the third cup in the meal. This is the cup that we use in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. It is the cup of redemption. God said to his people, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts. With an outstretched arm and mighty axe, he came down upon Egypt, and he redeemed his people and brought them to the promised land. Jesus, with outstretched arms and with mighty axe, redeems us with his very blood. For it was at this moment that Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Drink of it, all of you." To this day, we gather around the same table and we echo the words of Jesus from that night long ago as he bids us to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Would you please stand in honor and recognition of the sacrament that Jesus gave to us on that night? For it was on the night in which he was betrayed that he took bread and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He also took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated. At the end of the meal, there was one cup left. It was the fourth cup. It is the cup of protection. God had said to his people, "I will be your God, and you will be my people," assuring them that no matter where they may end up, that he would always be their God. He would always watch over them. He would always go with them. He would always protect them. So at the conclusion of our worship services, we also receive a blessing from God as he tells us that he is always with us, that he'll always watch over us, that he will always protect us. It is the fourth cup that when it was passed around the table that Jesus refused to drink from. He said that he would not drink from the fruit of the vine again until he drank it anew in the kingdom of heaven. He wouldn't drink of the cup of protection because he knew that Scripture spoke of another cup. It was spoken of in the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Hosea. It is the cup of wrath. The prophets speak that one day God's wrath would be poured out on all of mankind for its disobedience and its sin. It is this cup, the cup of wrath, that later that evening Jesus, on bended knee, would pray to his Father, asking if it is all possible that this cup would be taken from him. Of course, it could not. And on Friday, Jesus would drink the cup of wrath in its entirety for you and for me. And that's why this cup will always remain empty on our altar.